I see that some have come back after yesterday. They say sometimes we're glutton for punishment, right? And I really wanted to pick up from where we left off yesterday, or in the sense that yesterday I asked you a question about if we feel we're perfect. Does anybody remember that? I asked you, do you think you're perfect? But before we do that, as we did yesterday, we sang a little bit. Is that all right? Because I think it loosens us up a little bit, gives us a little spirit that we could do. But I think you may know this one better. It's All That I Am. Do you know that song, All That I Am? It's very simple. All that I am, all that I do, all that I ever have, I offer now to you. Is that all right? All that I am, all that I do, all that I ever have, I offer now to you. One more time. All that I am, all that I do, all that I ever have, I offer now to you. Usually that's an offertory song. But I think the greatest thing sometimes we can offer is ourselves. And that's why I wanted to sing that song, at least the verse, to remind us that we have to offer ourselves and be in communion so that we can celebrate. Go back to the question about being perfect. I asked you that about being perfect, and I know all of us said we weren't perfect. And now if we will call out a person now, because we said that we weren't perfect, none of us was. If I would look at one person and point them out and says, since you said you're not perfect, you are a sinner. Yesterday was kind of easy because we said, all of us said, none of us are perfect. But now because we admitted that, now if I go to you and say, then you're a sinner, we would be so ashamed. Because I already picked one person, and you already know that your state of needing God's grace, that we are not perfect, but we're in journey, and we all need God's mercy. If one of us looks to the other and says, you're a sinner, we're pushing them apart, marginalizing them, making them like the scorn of all of us here gathered. And even though we have admitted, all of us, that we are sinners, none of us likes to be called out. None of us likes to be called out, especially for our faults. We have touched a wound that leaves scars not only upon our bodies, but more upon our souls. And because of this, many times we wear masks. Do you wear a mask? Yeah. No, you're sure? Do you wear a mask? Are you sure? Does she know everything that you do? No, she doesn't, right? And if you did something wrong, would you let her know you did something wrong? You wouldn't. So we wear a mask sometimes, right? Because we don't want the other person to see who we truly are. We try to give the best face, right? It's just like if I ask anybody, especially the kids, have you been good this year before Christmas time, right? Have you been good this year? And everybody says, yes, I've been perfect. But we know, and your parents know, the truth, right? That maybe we've tried, but there's some things that we could have done better. So we do wear masks, even though it's not a physical mask like you do in Halloween. It's not that kind of mask. It's sometimes what we call appearances. Does anybody know what appearances mean? Physical. The physical way we look. Now, when I said you appear to be, does that mean that you really truly are like that? Usually it's something different, right? And did anybody come to church last Sunday? Anybody? You came? Do you remember the reading? Anything about the readings? Was there a blind man? Right? There was a blind man. Right, so he put some saliva in his eyes, right? Some mud. And then he told him to go wash it. And then he was able to see. Okay. That blind man, did he know who Jesus was? Did the man today in the gospel know who Jesus was in the beginning? He knew towards the end, right? But he believed. When Jesus said today to the man, get up and walk, he believed. He did not know Jesus like Jesus, but he believed. If I would tell you right now, get up and walk, and you were lame, and you were not able to, you were crippled, would you believe? Not in that priest. There's a faith. She's judging me and I'm judging her on appearances. I see a young girl, young kids, young guys and girls. I see adults. I see sisters. And we all have some mask on. Sometimes that mask gives me confidence. Sometimes that mask pulls me away. Because I see him so young, I may say, what do they know that they are so young? But we're reminded that David was chosen out of all his brothers. The smallest one was chosen and anointed to be the leader. They're special. I'm reminded also that in a community, especially in our Jewish tradition, not our Jewish ancestors, you have the elders. And the elders were always looked upon because they knew, they had the experience. They knew their heritage. They knew the history of salvation. And they were looked upon because of their wisdom. They're special. Each of us is special. Each of us holds certain gifts that were given to, first of all, give thanks to God and then multiply them. We hear today in the first reading about that water that flows and flows. And that water, wherever that water goes, whatever it touches, it's going to give fruit. It's going to nourish the people. It's going to give fruit to the lands. You're going to multiply. People are going to be blessed. Wherever the Spirit of God flows, the people are going to be blessed. If we open our hearts and our minds to receive, we're going to be blessed. And that's a promise. And that's something we believe in. But going back to our masks, right? When you look at each other, can you look at each other? Everybody. Look to the person near you. Make a little effort. I'll look behind me because I have no one near me. When you looked at that person, did you see Christ? Somebody were quick. The kids saying, oh, I didn't see Christ there. Us as a little more adults would say, we're thinking about it. The first thing that we see in that person are their faults. Especially if we know each other. We know what we do. We know who we are. But that person that's near you, Christ is in there. Christ is in there. Sometimes it's harder to see because sometimes we're much more rebels, but Christ is in there. Christ abides in us. St. Vincent de Paul had a saying, and I would like to read it to you tonight because he's our founder. It says, I shouldn't judge poor peasants, men or women, by their surface appearance, nor by their apparent mental capacities. And this is hard to do, since very frequently they scarcely seem to have the semblance or the intelligence of reasonable beings. Sometimes they are offensive. But turn the coin and you will see by the light of faith that the Son of God, whose will it was to be poor, is represented to us by just these people. Try saying to us, St. Vincent kind of saw what Christ saw, the great possibility in us because the seed of God is in us. And when we see in each other that image of Christ, we're able to embrace each other as brothers and sisters truly. No matter what may be holding us back, no matter what people have done. And because we are Christian and we're called to forgive and to love and to walk with each other, when we see Christ in our midst, we're able to embrace each other and walk again. Many of us remember that reading when Jesus talks about, you fed me when I was hungry. You gave me to drink when I was thirsty. You clothed me when I needed clothes, when I was naked. You visited me when I was sick or in jail. And their question was always was, when was this, Lord? When you visited one of my brothers and sisters. When you did one to this to my brothers and sisters, all creation, to my brethren, you did it unto me. When we treat each other with that dignity of children of God, we're really treating Christ the same way. It's not always easy. I'm very young still. I think to myself, I'm young. And each day I struggle with that because of what I said, that we know each other so well in our communities. But at the same time, as I get up in the morning, I pray that as the Lord gives me blessings and gives me another chance to live this day, that I may also give someone else a blessing and let them truly live and strive to make the best day possible for themselves. That I may not be a hindrance for that person, my neighbor, to walk, but to be a stepping stone which they can continue on their journey. It is so simple for us to forget our own calling. It is simple for us to be selfish at times because we do get caught up in our necessities, our desires, and what the world offers us. But at the same time, I'm called to remember that I am not alone. I am not alone in that journey. When I say, Our Father, when I call our Lord, Our Father, I remember that it can't be my Father if it isn't yours. I remember that we're called to be a community of believers. Even though we're called as individuals, each of us by our name, to stand forth. I cannot answer for anybody. I cannot walk in someone else's shoes, but I could walk near them. I could help them, and we could be there together. Today, I was thinking about, because I didn't really know a lot of the history of this church, but I know that you were celebrating the 115th year of your foundation, right? I'm sure nobody has been here for the 115 years, right? Has anybody been here for 115? No? But many of you have your first, second, third generation, fourth generation. I was just talking about our sister back in. It'll be 100 years since your family came, right? 100 years. You say it quickly, but it's talking to us of our heritage. You know, I have people like you and like me who desire to live their faith, who came to this church, and each of us placed a little stone. Each of us placed something different to make it beautiful, to make it our home, to make it a place where we felt that we could come and worship and we could be here together on our journey and continue to construct the kingdom of God together. We all have our history. We all have our past. And we're called to look into the past, not to live there, but to learn from it and to grow. And we're called to look back sometimes because we forget how blessed we are. We forget the blessings the Lord has given us and given our families and given our neighbors and given our community. And we look back, and as you are looking back this year, for 115 years that this community has been here in this neighborhood of Greenpoint. And it answered, at that moment, it answered the prayers of many Polish families and other immigrants who were in this neighborhood. And it's still here, being a place of solace, a place of comfort for all those who need to come and celebrate the life in the Lord. We are blessed. And as we look back also, we recognize that we are not what we were, and we are not what we will be. We are not people like when we're baptized and we're small and someone comes and speaks for us and baptizes us and tells us that they will give us support. They will keep that faith for us until we ourselves can stand up and firm our faith in our being as we mature. But at the same time, we were not the people that were going to be there tomorrow. As we continue to grow and we continue to strive for others to come and celebrate the life in the Lord. For others to come and celebrate the Lord's forgiveness, the Lord's life and love for each person. I want you to go tonight and really feel that first of all, the Lord abides in you. When I was growing up, I was taught not to pray for myself. You know, it's selfish. If you prayed for yourself and your needs, it's a little bit selfish. You know, it could be the last thing you pray for. You know, like you pray for the Pope, you pray for your priest, you pray for your sisters, you pray for the church, his necessities, whatever may be happening, maybe your family or something may be going through, your grandparents, whatever it be. But you hardly prayed for yourself because that would be a little bit selfish. But I think that if anything, we have to be included in that prayer because we also need of the Lord. We also need to be touched and transformed and healed and fortified. We also need to continue to renew ourselves so that each day may be a new possibility, a new moment of recreation, of living in the God in joyfulness, and a new kind of strength that we receive so that we can continue to be God's disciple wherever we may be. Can I ask a question, guys? Does a car need gasoline? Does a car need gasoline? The majority of them, right? Well, I know you're trying to say there's electric cars. That's right, Tommy? She's getting smart now, right? Electric cars, right? But you need your energy. Whatever it may be, you need your energy. We're able to recognize that for other things. But the one that needs energy the most is ourselves, our beings. We need nourishment. And it's not the food on the table, but the food for our souls. We need that energy constantly so that we can continue to go forth. Because we do get tired. We do experience many hardships. We do live in this world that could be sometimes cold. But at the same time, we do experience God's love and strength. Because we call upon Him as our Father and Creator. As I was thinking about Father Leon, who came and saw in this site in 1896, see? It's good to have people with knowledge near me. He saw in this place, a place that was answering a call for himself, for the people at that day, but he also confided that it'd be a source of life for people to come to. We today, as we're here and celebrating here this year in this church at this moment, we thank the Lord and we thank the Lord for nourishing us and seeing us through today. But there's something beautiful we always ask the Lord each day in the Our Father. Give us our daily bread. Every day we need of His bread. Every day we need of His life in us. So that when I look at myself, I see what God has made. He has made us His creation above all creation. He has made us His children. And He wants to walk with us always. And as I see that and rejoice in it, and I lift up my voice and say, thank you, Lord. I may also look to my neighbor, to the person near me. And I may see sometimes they have blemishes. Sometimes we do have blemishes. But I also see the possibilities because God, Christ, is in each one of us. Do you believe that? Do you believe it's possible? Do you believe that you have good in your heart? I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm just saying, do you believe in the good that's in there? Hold on to that goodness. Hold on to those blessings. Hold on to them like the treasure that no other thing can give you in this world. And you will have the strength to go on faithfully to the end. I want to finish with a small other song. It's a song of Jesse Manubisum, and it says, "Open my eyes, Lord." Do you know that one? Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see. Okay? Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see. So we want to be taking of the man on Sunday. We read that he was blind, but he wanted to see. We want to see now with our eyes. We don't want to see appearances. We want to see truthfully God working in each one of us. So close your eyes now. Close your eyes. I know it sounds like we're in school, right? Close your eyes now. But just pray. Just make it a prayer. And we're saying open our eyes, and I'm asking to close them because we want to really see from our hearts. We want to see from our souls. And we say, open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see. Come on, one more time. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see. May Saint Stanislaus, may Father Jerry, may Sister Faustina, soon to be blessed John Paul, and many others who have gone before us, be a light for us to experience God's graces, and that we also can achieve all that we're called to be as we confide in the one who calls us in his presence. Amen.